You know, he told me when we started this fast that he wanted me to fast safety. And in that, I understood that he didn't mean for me to go play chicken with a Mack truck. But that he wanted me to step into a place where I didn't rely on those things that were comfort zones. That I didn't rely on what was familiar, but began to reach out and push the edges. Push past that which is comfortable and allow him an opportunity to work on our mom's behalf. I had several messages this morning. This is not one of them. So what he has for us is learning how to trust him, is learning how to walk with him, how to hear him, how to respond with him, how to be in obedience with him. Because God wants us to be in obedience, and ultimately we want to be in obedience because that's where the blessing is at. If we'll simply be obedient, the blessing comes into our life. It doesn't matter whether we're walking and what we're pursuing there is the financial thing or a thing of healing, a thing of restoration. The blessing comes from our obedience. The blessing comes because we're walking with God, and God therefore is walking with us. And so therefore, as we come into this place of walking in his blessing, of hearing him, then we no longer have to fear what the world is having to offer and what it's saying. When we trust the Lord, all the rest falls away. See, all the fear, all the anxiety, it comes from the enemy. It doesn't come from God. There is no fear in heaven. When we're walking in fear, well, that's because we're not walking in the abiding presence of God. Because a lot of times we tend to look to what has been in the past instead of looking to what is in the future. Isaiah 43, if you'll turn there, I want to share a couple of verses. Because there's in there, there's a restoration and a recipe for his love. And a recognition of his love within you. Verse 18. Do not call to mind the former things or ponder things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. These are the very same things he's been speaking to us about. There's a new birth. There's a new something new coming up. But if we spend all our life focusing on what has been, we never step into what is and what shall be. So there's a part of us that knows that we need to be healed from those things of the past, but we don't do that by continuing to dwell on them. We do that by dwelling on who he is and his faithfulness to us. His faithfulness to us. His goodness and his grace has been extended to us. Those are the things that we dwell in. See, there's something within our psyche that tries to hang on to the past, to hang on to past defeats. When Wide World Sports would come on, what do you remember about that? They would play that little song and there was a scene that would play out. What scene do you remember being played out? See, they talked about the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat.
Where the guy was skiing down the...
Exactly. The guy was skiing down the slope and he comes off the side of it and he goes round and round like a helicopter and then lands and goes over and over. And every one of us, we hang on to that. We see that. Now tell me, on every one of those shows, they also had something about the thrill of victory. Can you name even one of those? They did like five different things, but tried to find something that would stick, that people would remember just as well as they remembered the agony of defeat. See, there's something about our psyche the human nature that tries to hold on, that wants to hold on to those defeats, that wants to remember that rather than looking for the victory. Every one of us can somehow place ourselves, maybe not coming down that ramp, but in some moment of defeat, when we see that, our heart goes out for that guy. Now, that guy was a champion jumper. He went on to win many medals. But that wasn't the day. And that's not what he's remembered for. Nobody knows whatever else he did. But we have to remember that God is a God of victory. We have to override those things and begin to allow the victory to come up and describe who we are. Allow that victory to be answered and echoed within us. See, defeat, the things of the past, they want to prophesy your future. But I'm here to declare to you that failure is a false prophet. It's a false prophet. It does not describe who you can be. It does not describe where you're going. It does not describe who God sees you as. And when we begin to understand who God sees us as, then everything can change. God has a plan for you. A plan for good and not evil. You know, the sad part is that most of the time we don't even put up much of a fight when past failure tries to describe who we're going to be. We oftentimes, just remember a couple of weeks ago we studied Nehemiah, and one of the things that began to happen there is that when they came against it, the people began to come and line their voice up with what the enemy was saying. This is the kind of things he's wanting us to surrender today. Because we can't line ourselves up with the voice of the enemy any longer. There's not time anymore for us to wallow in our pity parties. There's not time anymore for us to stay in the grips of the enemy's words, but we have to begin to rise up out of this place. We can't describe ourselves about how we've been when God is declaring something new. And He is setting forth something new. He is setting forth something new in you. He's setting something forth new in this house. And there's a new day that is being birthed. There's a new day that is being birthed. There's a new day that is being birthed. And it's in you. The children of Israel were given all of the promised land. And yet that original group didn't walk in the promises except two. 3 million souls never walked in the promised land. Why? Because they allowed the past, allowed the slavery mentality to define who they were. They allowed the lack of vision and lack of dream to define who they were. They allowed that the enemy had said about them all throughout their life and everything that their father knew and their father before them knew to describe who they were. God took them out of Egypt, but Egypt didn't come out of them. The bondage and slavery didn't come out of them. They were bound up more than just in the physical. They were bound up within their thought process. We are today. It's no different than they. When we allow the enemy to run roughshod over our hopes and dreams, we are just as bound up as they were. When we allow the enemy to describe by using our past issues to tell us what the future is going to be, we're staying bound up just as they did. And we have to step over. It's time to step over into that new day. To step over into the promised land. And we begin to do that by seeing ourselves as God has said that we are. By establishing the vision. This is Nehemiah. Establish the vision between the people. Hath not God said? Have not we prayed? And begin to stay and say, God, you have promised this thing. It's in my life. And I'm going to establish it because I'm going to pursue you. Numbers 13, now this part was something I started on and thought I would do several weeks from now. But Numbers 13, verse 32. This is where the spies have gone in and they've seen the land. They've seen the goodness. They've seen all the wonders of the promised land. And they come back. And here's what they have to say. Verse 32. So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone in spying it out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great size. Therefore also we saw that the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, and we became like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. See, that's what describes us. A lot of times we've allowed this grasshopper mentality to describe our faith. We've allowed our faith to look at the circumstance rather than at our God. Because all they did is they looked at the circumstance and they believed the circumstance much more than they believed who God was. Now, they were standing on top of huge victories. The whole Red Sea backed up and parted before them. They had already walked in the desert by this time and been fed the manna. They'd already seen springs of water come up out of solid rock. And yet, they didn't believe. We've seen our God move on our behalf. Let us not forget His wonders. Let us stay ever remembering the things that He's done for us. The simplicity of life. Let us be joyful and rejoice in the victory. I don't know about you, but in my life, so much could have been different. There was a young man this week who was shot this week who's come to this church. And I'll tell you what, after I went there and was part of those things, I began to realize how blessed I am to be alive. Because for another choice, for another situation, I too could have been there. Any one of us could have. We have to rejoice and stay cognizant of the victory that God has already given us. He's already overcome so much. Just by the fact that we're alive, that we have salvation. We've already won the whole war. Thank you, Lord. You know, when we begin to recognize that, there was lots of things in my youngest son's life that caused great anxiety within me. Until one day when all looked as if it was lost. And God spoke to me and He said, the enemy may have won a battle, but we've already won the war. Yes, Lord. And you know what? All those things that were looking up and talking to me that morning, all of that wound up not happening in the way that I anticipated. The devil is just a liar. He's a liar, and he's always been a liar. He will always be a liar, and we have to recognize that and recognize that when he's speaking into our lives, we have to cut that off. Because once I began to look to God and I said, thank you, God. I praise you for your victory. I thank you for your victory. I began to walk in the peace of God over the concerning that situation, and I saw the victory. But I had to see the victory in my head first. I had to see the victory in my heart first. I had to begin to observe the victory and allow the victory come forth. We can't operate in the faith that we are like grasshoppers. We have to begin to pursue and perceive who God really is and what He really is saying and what the situation really looks like from His perspective. It doesn't matter what it looks like from the enemy's perspective. He's a loser. Turn to Joshua. Yeah, turn to Joshua. Joshua 2. Because see, I want you to see I want you to see what really was going on. What really was happening when they were feeling like grasshoppers? Because see, because their word was, we were grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. Because that's our supposition whenever the enemy comes against us. But the reality was this. Look at verse 9. Oh, chapter 2, Joshua chapter 2. Verse 9, and this is when the men come and they visit with Rahab. And she says to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and the terror of you has fallen on us, and all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before you. While they were looking at grasshopper-like mentality, the enemy was afraid, terrified. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And we heard it, our hearts melted, and no courage remained in any man any longer because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven, above and on earth beneath. This unsaved, uncircumcised, not a Philistine, but person understood God more than all of the original bunch who came out of Israel. Because she knew that the God of heaven is with you. And if He is with you, there's nothing that we can do. Our own strongholds are the same way. The things that keep those things going on alive, they're trembling for the day that you wake up and discover they're there. Gary Carpenter tells a story. He saw it because he saw his stronghold like this. He was caught up into a vision, and in the vision, he came upon this walled city. But in relative to this walled city, he was huge, so he could see over the wall. And inside this walled city, he saw what was basically kind of like a King Arthur kind of scene where, you know, people are going about, and there's a man there who was cutting up fish to sell in the market, and there's a woman who was carrying her wash to wash it at the river, and there was different things that are going on. And all this is happening as he's looking. And then as he looked, the lady who's carrying her wash out, she looks up and she sees him. And they make eye contact, and she knows. She knows that the first time that he can see them. And she begins to yell, "He sees! He sees! He sees us!" And everything in there began to prepare for war. Everything in there began to prepare. All the people shut up the doors, and the ones who were to come out and do battle came out. And all this activity came on. And sadly, in this vision, Gary says this with much. He at that moment, he looked around and he saw that there was another walled city. And rather than doing battle, he began to walk towards the other walled city to see what was in there. See, that's what happens. Because, see, it was evident from their response that they anticipated a battle. They anticipated to be wiped out. They knew that within him was all the strength it took to just smash it. And yet, so often, we just simply take the lid off of something, begin to take a little peek, and instead of pursuing it and realizing that it's already under our feet, we go and proceed to look at another. We have to deal with our strongholds within. We have to deal with them effectively. And we deal with them by recognizing who our God is. Recognizing that the power and authority of the kingdom of God rests within us. When we deal effectively, devils run. There is no excuse. When we get to heaven, there's not going to be an excuse for us. Well, God, you assigned that enemy to me and he overcame me. It's not going to be that way. It's not going to be the TV's fault when you get to heaven. You have a remote. You have control. It's not a matter of what your addiction is. You have the authority to wipe it out. You have the presence of God within you to overcome. God is your strength. He is your mighty armor. He is the one who goes before you in battle. This is in that scene there. They could see and know that he could overcome them and just smush them. We have that ability. That's the thing that I love about Sozo, because when you've dealt with all the issues, telling the devil to go ain't like it used to be. It's just a go, and he does. And so often, you know, in many times I'll even have that person say it so that they know they have an authority to do it. Because there's something that people need to know is that victory, the authority for that is already with you. All we have to do is activate it. That original bunch could have inherited the promised land. But they had to deal with that slavery mentality. We have to deal with our slavery mentalities if we want to inherit the promised land. If it's a financial promised land, we have to realize that just an 8-to-5 kind of thing is not necessarily the promised land. That God may have something wholly more and different for you planned. There's nothing wrong with working and working hard. It's a kind of something that God wants us to do in the kingdom. But he wants us to do it out of a heart of love, not out of a heart, not out of a works mentality. When we do something out of a works mentality, the reality is it's about us. It's about getting our need met. When we do something out of love, it's about someone else. It's about meeting their need. When we step into works mentality, what we're doing is we're stepping into performance and manipulation and control. Those are all things that are attributes of doing something out of a works mentality. You can go feed people on the street and walk in all those characteristics. Is it a wonderful thing to do? Absolutely. But if it's done out of a works mentality, out of a works basis, it's not bringing forth the kingdom of God, because that's not where it came from. It will do good, yes. But is it what God looks for? No. He wants it to be something that's a surrendered part of our heart, where we're loving and we're giving out of the abundance that's within us, so that we're not worried about meeting our need through this, because we're not trying to be glorified in any way, but we're doing it simply to pour out the goodness of God upon these people. Then we're not trying to get our ministry recognized, but we're doing it because it's for the good of the people. It's a new day. A new reality. We capitalize on the opportunity by looking to who God is and walking into obedience to the things that he tells us. Every one of you can hear from God. Every person in here can hear from God. I've personally seen it in my relationships with each of you, that you can hear from God. Now we walk in trust. Now we walk in obedience. Because as we walk in trust and obedience, God's going to do a new thing in our life and in the lives of others. Amen.